The Holy Gospel according to John, the sixth chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Then the Judeans began to complain about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They were saying, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught by God. Everyone has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. The one has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
A few years ago, or maybe it was a decade ago, time is a funny thing. There were commercials for the candy bar Snickers, and they had a campaign that featured Betty White standing in for a football player in a game. And inevitably, she was not playing like a football player. The tagline was, you're not you when you're hungry. I'm sure a lot of us are familiar with the term hangry, a portmanteau of the words hungry and angry. Maybe some of us have experienced hanger, being so hungry that we end up in a bad mood, sometimes lashing out at others. Your hunger becomes so great that even the smallest inconvenience becomes insurmountable. As a person who struggles with low blood sugar at times, I certainly know that I have embodied this hangry position, and I am certainly not myself when I do. Earlier this year, there was a meme going around in my clergy friend circle discussing the passage from 1 Kings today. The meme is actually a tweet from Joy Clarkson, who is a PhD candidate in theology at St. Andrews University. It stated, remember that one time in the Bible when Elijah was like, God, I'm so mad, I want to die. So God said, here's some food. Why don't you have a nap? So Elijah slept and ate and decided things weren't so bad. Never underestimate the power of a snack and a nap. Of course, this is an oversimplification of the story, but we get the point, right? Elijah's story is relatable because we know that feeling. Things are not going the way we planned, and we just want whatever it is to be over. We've all had times when things seem so impossible around us that we want to just throw up our hands at God and say, why? Why is this happening? Some of those times may have even come up in the past year, or even the past few weeks with the surge of the Delta variant. Our conversations with God often come in these moments of exasperation as we grasp for clarity. My friends who shared this meme were those who had endured a year of upended plans with their religious communities and faced continued situations of injustice throughout the world. Many of them were at the point of burnout. A snack and a nap certainly are not going to fix all the world's problems. But when we have our basic needs met, it's easier to cope with extenuating circumstances. We cannot serve others or ourselves if we are running low on energy. Taking care of our needs can also help us focus on who and what supports us. Elijah separates himself from his community to express his frustration and ultimately finds that God continues to support him by providing him with his essential needs so that he can reset and return to his community. He can then go on to continue his important work as a prophet in challenging the actions of King Ahab and the cruelty shown to the people of Israel. God's constant presence through the care shown to Elijah when he is at his lowest point enables Elijah to remember that God continues to support him, even in his darkest moments. Elijah has physical hunger, yes, but he also has a spiritual hunger that needs to be fulfilled. The theme of the sustaining presence of God in the world is carried through in today's gospel message. Jesus proclaims to the people, including the religious authorities, that he is the bread of life and that whoever comes to him will never be hungry. Some may read this as a message meant to exclude, a condemnation of those who are not a part of Jesus's movement. But as one commentator I read put it, this is not a message of condemnation, but of commendation. It is an invitation to people to come, taste and see that the Lord is good. Jesus creates a continuum between his Jewish heritage and the new message of what God offers to humanity. The Israelites relied on manna from heaven while they wandered the desert with Moses for 40 years, further establishing their trust in God. This new form of manna from heaven expands God's covenant with humanity in establishing eternal life. It provides spiritual nourishment to all who come to receive it. In our Christian context, we immediately connect Jesus's claim of being the bread of life for those who hunger and the living waters for those who thirst with our sacraments. Holy Communion allows us to eat and drink as Christ has instructed us in his remembrance. Sharing together as a community in partaking in the bread and wine physically binds us to the reality of Christ's love. As a central part of worship, the Lord's Supper presents an opportunity for us as the congregation to share in the intimate act of eating and drinking together. Temporally and spatially, this act also connects us with the centuries of Christians throughout the world who have shared in this sacrament. Creating community around the table is meaningful because it recognizes the need to be spiritually and physically sustained in order to serve God. One thing that I appreciate most about our Lutheran understanding of the Lord's Supper is the acknowledgement of the mystery that surrounds it. We are to take Jesus at his word when he says that the bread and the wine are his body and blood. Our faith is bolstered by the fact that we continue to receive this mystery. Even if we believe that we are unworthy to accept God's grace, it is still given to us through the promise found in Holy Communion. Our consciences are eased by the reality that there is nothing we need to do to earn this means of grace from God, but that it is given to us freely. Holy Communion has played a pivotal role in my own sense of vocation and call. Growing up as a pastor's kid, a PK, I only infrequently encountered other ministers in my youth. My primary clergy person was also my dad. I witnessed my father celebrating communion almost every week in the churches that he served. However, when you're a PK, your connection with the church can be somewhat challenging. If your pastor is your parent, it's hard to not see their vocation as just a job, or to really ever understand what it is that they do. For some PKs, it causes them to develop some uneasiness around considering ministry as a potential vocation. That's why, when I went off to theology school after college, I made it very clear that I was not going to be a pastor. I figured my studies of religion and theology were enough to feed my spirituality. I had stopped regularly attending church in college, and I didn't feel any sort of drive to return, even when surrounded by those who were seeking out ministry as their vocation. In 2011, things changed. My mother was diagnosed with multiple myeloma, a blood cancer that originates in the bone marrow and affects the white blood cells. Fortunately, she was diagnosed early and had access to cutting-edge care at the University of Pennsylvania Hospital, which has oncologists who specialize in this particular type of cancer. The prospect of a loved one, or even yourself, going through cancer treatment is terrifying, however. Watching at a distance as she went through chemo, losing weight, and eventually her hair, it was hard not to question, why? Why was this happening? Like Elijah yelling at God in his frustration, there were many times when I found myself angry with God. My family trusted the doctors, who were sure that at the very least her disease would be manageable in the future, but nonetheless, it was scary in the moment. I finally got to visit my mom after she had her largest dose of chemo and had had her own treated stem cells transplanted into her body, resulting in a 17-day long stay at the hospital, from which she had just been released. My parents' minister, the minister of the church to which my family belonged while my dad served as an interim minister for many years, came to the house to give her communion. I had never experienced communion at home before, which seems like a silly thing to say in today's context. Communion was always a full church experience. I connected it with being in front of the altar and surrounded by others. Sure, I knew that my dad would go out and give communion to those who were too sick or homebound, but I never experienced it firsthand, let it alone from another minister. My mom, dad, and I sat in the living room as Pastor Sharkey unpacked his communion kit and asked my mom about how she was doing and comforting her in the challenges she now faced in her recovery. He went on to offer us each communion, stating the words of institution and placing the wafers in our hands, followed by small cups of wine. Although I had heard the body of Christ broken for you, the blood of Christ shed for you many, many times before, in that specific moment, I felt a connection so much deeper than anything I had ever experienced. I felt spiritually fed. I felt supported by God. I knew that God was there to help us get through this moment. It wasn't that my experiences in the church prior to this were not spiritual or meaningful, but it helped me to see and understand ministry in a new light. I knew that ministry involved the care of others in the most difficult of times, but I don't think I ever truly understood what it meant to those who were hurting until I experienced it myself. As someone who has innately sought to help others in whatever jobs I have taken on, perhaps because of my upbringing, I began to see ministry as a truly viable option for my future. When the opportunity to serve as the Lutheran campus minister at BU arose just a few short weeks after this experience, I jumped at the chance to enter into the beginning steps of a long process of discernment to pursue becoming a minister of word and sacrament. Throughout this journey, which at times has been difficult, I have continued to encounter moments of God's sustaining presence, keeping me spiritually fed. God stands with us in our hardest moments. God's constant presence reminds us that we are not alone and joins us together in community with one another to find strength to continue through whatever challenges we might face. Christ invites us to partake in the bread of life, to have our hunger and thirst perpetually satisfied. We are physically and spiritually fed through Holy Communion, hearing the word proclaimed and receiving the body and blood of Christ given for each one of us. As the psalmist states, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are they who take refuge in God." Amen.